This podcast is sponsored by Vicon, the Academy Award-winning developer of motion capture products for the life science, entertainment, and engineering industries. Vicon provides cutting-edge hardware and software with the highest accuracy. Shogun, Vicon's visual effects software, developed specifically for the needs of the VFX community, captures full-body and high-fidelity fingers effortlessly in real time and delivers robust, accurate, reliable data. Shogun now includes custom-developed virtual production tools to power your next-level project. Find out more at www.vicon.com.
Oh, hello, Internet. This is Troy Baker, and I'm here with your lovely, very, very British host, Victoria Atkin. And this is the Performance Capture Podcast.
So essentially, motion capture performers, like all the other performers, are here to tell stories.
And then they're like, you mean there are actors in video games? I thought it was animation.
I kind of created my position. Like, nobody said, oh, you know, here, you go to school to become a performance capture producer. I pretty much created my own career.
I had done so much work, I felt like it was time for me to give back to the community that was so good to me.
You know, the dots can tell if you're lying.
All right, this is season 3 of the Performance Capture Podcast, and we have another incredible guest today. I am very thankful to have this lady on the podcast today. She is a force of nature in this industry and is helping cast some of the biggest and best projects for performance capture and voiceover. If you would like to tell us, what's your name and where did you grow up?
Well, thank you so much for that intro. This is Julia Bianco Scheffling, and I grew up in New York City.
So can you tell us about what you do, your title, a lot of us creatives have different titles, and where you work?
Sure, yes. I am the COO and casting director at the HALP Network, and I have a casting under Julia BS Casting. I focus 99% on performance and voiceover for video games, both performance capture and voiceover casting.
And we always ask every single guest that comes on this podcast to help us explain to the world what performance capture is. So in a nutshell, can you explain in your terms what performance capture is?
I'm sure you've had a lot of different perspectives on this podcast, but from the casting director's perspective, it is the most groundbreaking, newest technology to capture the most tiniest movements and performance details of actors and bring them into the life of animated and visual effect characters. Really, it is a new form of capture.
Obviously I'm doing this podcast because I get super excited about this medium, and I always say that it's the only medium that's able to really capture my soul, every single ounce of it, and whether I'm telling the truth or not, to the tiniest degree. And I love that that's where you're at with casting and looking for that when you're casting people, because it really is. It doesn't, we have Janina Gavankar said on our last season that the dots don't lie. And I totally agree with that.
I love that.
So how did you discover performance capture? I mean, obviously you've said that you started in voiceover and maybe it was an organic development, but I wanted to know really how you became involved and what was your first project, because a lot of us have kind of stumbled across performance capture and then just really kind of found our feet in it and learnt as we go. But I would love to hear your journey.
So I have, I started in the video game industry in 2003 as a receptionist at Treyarch, which is the world-renowned Call of Duty developer. And I just needed a college job while I was studying recording arts in college. And they had a receptionist position open. And so I started working there part-time and made good friends with the audio department. Because I was studying recording arts, I knew I had a resource right in front of me to ask questions on my silly projects when recording bands and things like that. And so I got to know the audio department there pretty well. And when I graduated from college, I moved into the audio department as a production coordinator. I started working on Call of Duty and Spider-Man projects there. And because I was the lowest man on the totem pole, and I say man because there was 300 people there and only 7 women at most times, I was also the one to handle all of the script wrangling for voiceover, because none of the sound designers wanted to deal with that stuff. So I did a lot of script wrangling and I sat in all the recording sessions. And then that also meant that when they were starting to experiment with performance capture, they had me go over there to both record sound and also playback sound on the mocap stage. So my earliest first game was, I believe, was Spider-Man 3. Nope, sorry, Big Red 1, Call of Duty Big Red 1, where they had the Band of Brothers that they did mocap with. And then Spider-Man 3, where actually my dear friend America Young and I met. I've been doing it a really long time, and it's changed so much from capturing the audio then to even playing back audio then to how it is now. Virtual cameras, all of the technology has changed so much, but it has always been my favorite place.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that, about what you were specifically doing?
As video games have grown, both in popularity, they've grown in size as well. And a typical game can have anywhere from a couple hundred lines to many thousands of lines. And those lines have to be kind of tracked both in script form, but also in file names and how those things are implemented into the game. And so I spent a lot of time in Excel, a lot, organizing file names, making sure we got all the lines, passing that stuff off to the localization teams to make sure that we're getting them in all the different languages, that they're coming back, then making sure those things get into the game and that they're playing where they should be, how they should be. So it's a lot of details and it's a lot of management, and it's very... You have to be pretty anal retentive to be able to manage all those details.
It sounds like a job and a half.
Yeah, and it's not creative, really.
Yeah, from the TV and film projects I've done, it sounds like the position of the script supervisor, but in a completely intense, much bigger script and many different languages and a lot more computer, you know, things. Yeah, that is, wow. You definitely built some skills there and became somebody that I guess they needed more than most people that couldn't be replaced once you'd learned all those skills.
Well, you know, it's a job position that didn't exist then that now is becoming a lot more common. You will see a job called dialogue coordinator in games. Oh. Now, like Sony has dedicated dialogue coordinators all throughout their company. Because it usually just falls on the audio director and they have a bazillion other things to be handling.
We touched about how you describe performance capture, but I like to ask, what is your favorite thing about motion capture? I mean, you get to see, I would like to talk to you about motion capture auditions and what you like to see from actors with that perspective. But if you are on the motion capture stage, which I hear that you were at the beginning, and I'm not sure how much you get to go on there now. What's your favorite thing?
I think it's a little bit lower pressure than a film set in certain respects. So I really like that. Everyone is really typically very kind. There's less egos than where you're like afraid of, you know, what big exec is going to walk in and mm-hmm. whatnot. But for me, my favorite part of motion capture is in the casting side. And it's the ability to be able to have such flexibility in terms of the characters and the roles that actors can play. I love not really having to look for likeness and for, you know, a certain look. It's really about the performance that can drive the role. And for me, that's everything. It's most similar to theater and like theater in the round to me. That's where I find. So I feel like people who have done a lot of Shakespeare and things like that do really well.
Yeah, when we were making Assassin's Creed in Toronto, they flew a ton of theatre actors over from the RSC, which was really, really fun for our game. Obviously, it was set in Victorian London, so they had a lot of, yeah, London theatre actors in it. It's such a fun playground. And I love that you say that about, you know, not being having to really, unless I guess you're casting likeness, but have to pick somebody that looks exactly like they've made, you know, they can make you look like anything. But if you have the essence of that character and you have, you know, those qualities, then that's really fun. And I never thought about it. Like, what about heights and things like that? Because sometimes with breakdowns, do you ever have to work really closely with heights that are given from the animators?
That is heartbreaking for me as a casting director.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have a 2-inch spread.
Yeah.
So it does determine. But, you know, I also like to think about it as these are opportunities for, you know,
yeah,
actors to get jobs that maybe wouldn't have because of a height thing. But yeah, we sometimes have to keep it very close within height differences, especially when it's two characters talking to each other. There's a lot of magic we can do, obviously, on the stage, but having, you know, eye line is generally important.
Can you tell us about, you know, some of our guests have told us about experiences that they've had specifically on the motion capture stage, maybe something that just stayed with you for a long time or something that was really funny that happened. Have you got any tales from the mocap stage that you can share with us?
Some of my favorite memories on the mocap stage are the ensemble nature of things, because in voiceover, it just happens so little that we get a bunch of people together. So just having the group setting is really amazing. The virtual camera to me is like the most mind-blowing thing, and I could just hang out with it all day. Just being able to, you know, pull a screen in front of someone and see their character come to life, and then just seeing the actors dance in front of that screen and you know, as their characters. It's just so cool. It's like modern puppetry.
I love that. That's a cool way of talking about it.
I've been fortunate enough to see a lot of animals PCAP.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's really cool. Back in the day, I was at Activision for some of the Cabela, the big game hunter games, and they did do performance capture on some of the bigger animals. And then I also was able to see some of the horse capture stuff that The Last of Us, that they did. And there's just some really incredible things that can happen.
And that's where they brought real horses onto the stage and captured them.
Yep. But I just think it's so fun to seeing that technology change and push boundaries and get, and then seeing actors' reactions to seeing that technology for the first time is also really cool.
Yeah, it's every year it just gets more detailed, more mind-blowing. I just, each project I do, I think, wow, oh my God, that's, you know, it's really amazing, and I love it. All right, so what you know, what advice would you give to other people listening that want to get into perhaps casting performance capture, if there's anything? And I think specifically for you, because we have a lot of actors that listen to this, you know, what are you looking for with actors that are auditioning for performance capture? Is there anything different that you look for than perhaps you would look for in TV and film or for voiceover?
Yeah, I think if you're wanting to get into performance capture in general, whether it's as an actor or in casting or any area of it, is trying to get on the stage as much as possible, whatever jobs you can do to be able to actually see those shoots happen, even if you're catering, even if you're PAing, whatever it might be, to just be able to get close to the action, because I think you can learn so much from seeing how it works. Seeing what talent succeeds on the mocap stage and which ones struggle. It's a lot about teamwork. It's a lot about adaptability. Things have to change course sometimes in an instant because the technology doesn't allow for you to do whatever it is you were thinking you needed to do in this scene. So just being really adaptable, and then also getting as much experience as possible within the stage. For auditioning, I think one of the things that I see most often with self-tapes especially with voice performers, is a lack of movement. And I think sometimes when you think of movement in a self-tape, obviously we want to make sure things are intentional and that they make sense in the scene, but we are looking for those small details, those nuances that we've discussed. Whether you're, you know, picking up a phone and twirling a cord, or you know, whether you're using the stir to stir your coffee, those little details and nuances, the way that you hold your posture, how you sit on that right leg when you're kind of leaning over, all those things are noticed for the character, and whether they add to that character or we really want to see them come to life. So I think it's showing the imagination in those self-tapes that you can really make up a total scene with props and everything in your living room.
And for self-tapes, I mean, obviously lighting is key, but would you also say I always, you know, if I coach anybody with this stuff, I always say, you know, motion capture, it's motion. You need to move, which I think you just, you know, you captured very well saying what you just said. Would you say kind of a full-length shot is best for things? You know, having a tape where you can see the full length of the actor?
I've gotten this question a lot, and it's surprising to me how often you don't get a full shot back when you ask for one.
Oh, really?
I get that people have limitations, and it totally makes sense that not everybody has the ability to do that. But even the ones sometimes that are done on a cell phone still work because they're at least upright and I can see your legs.
Yeah.
I've seen a few people, I think they're probably more TV people, do a whole, like, one pass full shot and one pass a little bit closer. And I thought that was kind of helpful, but it's not anything I would direct anyone to do because I'm not always going to listen to two takes or watch two takes. But I do think that leaning towards showing as much of your body as possible is definitely the right way to go. Wearing tighter fitting clothing so that we can see your muscles and not a lot of layers. And it doesn't even have to be muscles. It's your body shape, your posture, the way that your shoulders hang, how you walk. All of those things are going to be looked at by the animators to see if they feel like your body can embody the character's physicality.
I think if people are having fun in their self-tapes with, you know, motion and being part of that world and organically having things, you know, we talk about different strategies with doings and stuff like that, you know, and would you encourage, like, if they've got props at home, just to use a cup rather than mime things?
I'm open to it either way. I think it's funny, casting directors all have a million different opinions, so I don't know how you actors deal with, like, the 20 different types of advice that you get, but for me, I'm okay with either way. If the prop makes sense, absolutely use it. If it calls for a chair and you have a chair, use a chair, but if you can't and you use, you know, a stick instead, as long as I believe it, I'm okay with it. I don't mind the miming.
Yeah, I guess if we believe it, you believe it.
Exactly. And sometimes it's cool, especially with sci-fi things or these otherworldly things. I mean, that's another thing that's amazing about this is that you actually get to perform characters that you wouldn't necessarily get to perform in a film. When you have those, being able to show some of those cool little details and creative aspects of those non-human characters is also super great.
How long have you been at the Haupt Network and what's next for you and the company? Can you talk about any of the projects you've got coming up if you can? I know a lot of things are always under NDA.
Yes, living that NDA life. So I founded the Haupt Network with my partner Chip Beeman about 2 years and change ago. I think it's 2 years and change. And we started it in order to connect talented creatives with projects that are hiring. And one of the things that we do is casting, which I'm at the forefront of for our company. Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, came out today. So that's exciting.
Oh, great. Congratulations.
And fortunately, we have just started picking up some new PCAP casting over the last couple months. So it seems like the industry is starting back up again a little bit post-pandemic. So, well, mid-pandemic, I guess you would say.
Wherever we are in this pandemic.
Exactly. But, you know, I feel fortunate that we are in this industry where so much can be done remotely. Even with performance capture, they've been handling the shoots in a really, really, really careful manner. They are reducing the amount of people that need to be on stage. And unfortunately, you can even wear masks with motion capture if you're not doing facial. So there's a lot of a lot more flexibility within the motion capture world, I think, than some of the film sets and on-camera stuff.
Yeah, it's been really good. I've been very fortunate to be on the mocap stage a few times during the pandemic with different companies. And it's really, because we don't have any props or costume or set, there's so many things that you're not touching and so, like a lot less people involved with the crew side of things, touching the actors and everyone technical side usually can have their own sort of bases. I know when we've been rehearsing a project over at Rouge Mocap and, you know, actors have their own stations and we've all got masks and we're able to do a lot of stuff. So I'm glad. Yeah, I'm so, as you say, it's so nice to be involved in this industry and still working. It's really, really great. Talking about work and everything else, you're a mom as well as I am. And what's your secret to work-life balance? Or do you just take each day and...
my biggest secret is that I left corporate America. Honestly, starting my own company, as hard as it's been, was the best thing to do for my relationship with my child, because I can be flexible on my own schedule, and I can schedule my meetings when I need them to be, and I can weigh whether or not this life thing is more important than this meeting and all of those things. And it's been insanely hard during this time, because we don't have the flexibility of school and putting her in that to get some social time and also work focus time. But I'm just trying to be super thankful about all the extra time I've gotten with her. And I just try to pause when I need to pause and hang out with her when it's even when it's not convenient, and catch up on all the things later that will always be there. She likes listening to auditions quite a bit.
That's good. Well, maybe one day I can get her feedback on mine. That's really fun. I just want to say thank you so much. And that's, you know, it's super impressive what you've been doing with the Help Network. I've been very thankful to be able to watch that grow and be cast by you and see, you know, see that happening, and just seeing you as a force of nature in this industry as a woman. I really, you know, I'm inspired by you and thankful for you coming on this podcast today. Just for everybody listening, is there any way they can find you? What's your social media at? Can you let us know those?
Thank you so much for having me. And I really appreciate that you're putting all this effort into this, because it is so important that people understand what this media is and how they can learn to act within it and work within it, because it's definitely only getting bigger and more prevalent. You can find me primarily on Instagram at The Help Network and at Julia BS Casting. Also on Twitter at Julia BS Casting. And then my website is Julia BS Casting. And the Help Network website is helpnet.com or thehelpnetwork.com. And that's H-A-L-P. So yeah, all over the interwebs.
Well, thank you so much. And we hope to see you soon. And we're looking forward to your projects coming out after the NDAs are released. Thank you.
Season 3 of the Performance Capture Podcast was recorded and edited at Soundbox Studios in Los Angeles. Soundbox LA is the founding studio in the Soundbox Studio Group, a collective of talent-owned and operated boutique voiceover studios with multiple locations in the Los Angeles area and Southern Colorado. You can find out more at soundbox.la. We'd like to send out a huge thanks to Soundbox Studio City's very own Ryan Riveros for editing the episodes of Season 2 and now Season 3. The multi-talented Ryan is also the composer of our theme music.